easy run. The Falcon has landed. Landing operators moving to procedure 11.1.
SpaceX has landed. The Falcon has landed. An eruption of cheers as SpaceX successfully landed its Falcon 9 rocket in Florida at Cape Canaveral last night. The private space company led by tech mogul Elon Musk made history when the rocket touched down, landing upright on solid ground. That's a first and a big step towards reusable rockets. Here to explain just what happened and what this means for the private space industry is our weekly guide to the world of tech, Recode. Edmund Lee is managing editor at Recode. He's with us from New York. Hi, Edmund.
Hi.
And how big a deal was this? Tell us exactly what happened.
So basically, Elon Musk, he successfully launched 11 satellites into low Earth orbit on Monday. And along with that, and probably even more significant, is that the first stage booster, which is sort of the part of the rocket that has the engine attached to it, he successfully landed that back to Earth, you know, just using its own power. And I think that was significant because it allows potentially him to reuse that. And that's usually the most expensive part of the rocket. And so reusing it just makes space travel hopefully cheaper.
And Jeff Bezos, the head of Amazon last night, tweeted out something like, "Welcome to the club," because his space company, Blue Origin, had done a similar thing last month, but not quite as amazing as this one, right?
Billionaires on Twitter are always fun, right? I think he's quibbling a little bit, right? He's sort of saying, I've already done that. The difference is that his company, his rocket, which, again, it's no small feat on his part either, it was a different purpose. It was a different idea. It's a much smaller rocket. It's supposed to ferry passengers into low Earth orbit or suborbit. Meaning it's not going quite fast enough to really be in full orbit and bring that back down, which he'd done. Musk's rocket, though, the Falcon 9, the point of that was to actually launch satellites into space, which he did. And, you know, he's doing that on behalf of NASA, a contract he has with NASA, as well as, you know, these third-party companies that just want satellites to work up in space for communications.
And the idea that a rocket would be reusable is not necessarily an environmental benefit, but it certainly reduces the cost.
Right, exactly. And, you know, as I said, the engine, the first stage or the booster stage, that's usually the most expensive part of the rocket. The whole rocket costs $60 million, could be $100 million. If I can save that part, I'm just kind of, you know, putting new payload in there and then paying for fuel, right? Fuel is expensive, but hundreds of thousands of dollars versus millions and millions of dollars. So if you think of it that way, it could be much cheaper.
Well, let's back up and look more broadly here at SpaceX. How has Elon Musk been doing on the business side of running this company?
Well, so SpaceX is still a startup, which is another way of just simply saying it's losing money, right? But there's a lot of investment in it. I think this success will only sort of hopefully give him more contracts and more chances to do these kinds of things. So it's a money-losing company, but it's a growing company, meaning he's going to do more of these and more people will come in and want to rent out or buy space or whatever it is to use his technology.
To launch things like satellites into space or to actually take humans up into space?
I think humans is the longer term goal. I think going to, you know, exploring other, going to Mars, frankly. I think Elon Musk himself has said that. He's like, his long term goal here is to get to Mars, you know, colonize Mars, essentially, put pizza parlors on Mars.
What about Blue Origin? How are they doing?
They're also doing well, too. I mean, it's nice that these two billionaires are egging each other on. I think they're making each other better this way. I think he's got slightly different aims here. It's not immediately commercial. He just wants to send people into low Earth orbit so they can experience space and weightlessness and all that good stuff and then bring that back down safely to Earth. So there's a different purpose there. I think ultimately all these technologies could aggregate, could add up to doing things like going to Mars.
And what is the dream scenario? We've talked to the head of NASA on this program before who talked about this move toward the private space industry, taking a little more of the burden away from what NASA has been doing over the years. But what is the dream scenario for private space travel, private space exploration, let's say in the next 20 years?
I think the dream scenario is to be able to, as I said, go to Mars, but also, you know, go to the asteroid belt and look for things to mine there. I think that's been a dream of scientists and frankly, young kids for decades and decades, which is to explore and then also to find ways to make it profitable, right? I don't mean purely for the sake of greed, but that there should be an economy outside of Earth, right? And that sounds kind of unusual, but I think if it's going to work, it's going to require a certain economy, and that will require these private companies to be ambitious and to do it, to make it work and to build essentially an infrastructure in space that allow people to be out there and to live and work and all that good stuff. That is the dream scenario. I don't think it's happening in 20 years. I think if they can get to the asteroid belt, if they can get to Mars, that would be a huge, huge success.
Mars brought to you by Mars Bars. That's the future. Right. Edmund Lee, managing editor at Recode. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.